You are now listening to the Perceptive Readers Podcast. Spaceship Poetry Moment. Stardate Wednesday. Hi, Perceptive Readers. I want to point out something that I hope you will look at. I hope you will look at right away after listening to this podcast. What is the subject? Well, let me say this again. Spaceship vessel. Oh, no, I said spaceship poetry moment, didn't I? Where I stick with poetry moment. And this one is Deep Space Nine. In particular, the title, The Top Five Deepest Moments in Deep Space Nine. Let me say that again. The Top Five Deepest Moments in Deep Space Nine. And the reason I'm mentioning these is because these are some situations in space, science fiction. You see, Captain Sisko, and there's something, Avery Brooks. Does he play the captain? I'll have to look it up because, you know, it's been a long time when you just get all the Star Trek characters and you start saying Captain Kirk, Captain Picard, and then, you know, and Captain Sisko, and, you know, you just start Janeway. You kind of forget their names sometimes. So it may be Avery Brooks, his name for the captain. But here's the point. The top five deepest moments in Deep Space Nine. The way they spelled it, though, is by the YouTuber, his name is Red on Yellow 2. Red on Yellow 2. Now that's interesting. We'll see about that. But anyway, here's the point. The top five deepest moments in Deep Space Nine. They have clips from these episodes where some of the most intriguing political, even espionage, was acted out. Fine writing. You know, Gene Roddenberry is the original creator of Star Trek. May his soul rest in the ground in peace, which it most likely is. And yet, you know, he took social issues of the day, even the deeper ones, like mentioned in his title, that persons have experienced. And one of the situations in this happened to do with Sisko, where he was traveling, you know, back in time, if you will, in a situation, you know, he did a lot of jumps like that because he was like an emissary for the what they call the wormhole aliens, which are also viewed as the gods for the Bajoran people. But here's the point. He was in one of these situations of traveling, you know, with his mind. I can't remember whether it was an accident or not that happened. It's been a while. And yet he kept having these flashes and he would write these stories, you see, about his life that was on Deep Space Nine and things of that nature. And the thing about it is, eventually, it came down to that his work wouldn't be published. And they gave some reason, you know, that he did not believe in why, you know, his work wasn't published and also why his services were no longer needed. And he, after, you know, years of this undermining, not acknowledging, questioning, as he put, even that one point that he was a human, you see, that he had a breakdown, a mental breakdown. And who knows, you know, it was to the point where something could have popped, where he could have lost his life as well. Now, with that being said, you may see some of your emotions in that. And one thing I still want to assure you, you perceptive readers, if you've ever faced some of these situations like that I mentioned in the top five deepest moments in Deep Space Nine, you know, I'm still going to tell you there is hope each and every day. Okay, there's still hope each and every day. Now, one of the other situations, one of the shows that I got to tell you would probably rank in the top 10 of favorite shows that they have in there is The Pale Moonlight. Let me tell you, this was a ethical dilemma that Sisko faced, where he actually concocted the rules. He also used intrigue. See, everything that he's doing, I don't want to say scheming, but if the person was a bad guy, you would say it was scheming in a minute. But because you know of the character of Captain Sisko, the moral caliber that he has inside, guess what? You don't want to look at it as this was a scheme. This was a ruse. This was a setup, you see, to bring in allies that they didn't have before to be able to win a war that they were losing. So he actually enlisted the services. See, I remember this episode of Garak. Garak was a man who had a lot of connections, okay? And how to get the job done, to get people who were otherwise living in peace, you see, to come over to the Federation side. And he put it in place. And it worked. And it caused somebody, people, you know, a crew, the Romulans who were like, and they said before, they said, look, this is between you and the Dominion or whatever, you know, don't bring us in this. So that's the way it was before falsified evidence was planted. You see, falsified evidence was planted to justify, you know, to try to convince the Romulans. And yet, guess what? Even though the Romulans found out that, wait a minute, this evidence is fake, it's falsified. And yet, guess what? When they were going back to their domain, their empire, there was an explosion on the ship that killed everybody. And there was enough evidence that was there that, you know, when they do their scans and stuff like that, they might have saw some glitches, but they could easily place it on, well, you know, that was just a glitch because of the system. That was, you know, whatever they were using to scan the proof, you see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so with that being said, the Romulans end up thinking, yes, this probably was already a preemptive attack from the Jem'Hadar, you see, from that empire. And so then they decided to join the war with the Federation and the Klingons, you see, to fight against now the Dominion Empire. At the end of the episode, because Sisko was talking to himself, you know, and he was recording it, he was saying, you know, that what he did, basically, would he do it again? And he was saying he could live with it. He could live with it because he was willing to do whatever needed to be done to get those other persons on his side, on the Federation side, in order to, you see, have some allies to win the war. Because in his mind still, their cause was righteous, you see? And that's why, you know, yeah, this was wartime, But, you know, one thing that I'm still going to say, the difference between all other wars and when we do fight in a spiritual way on Jehovah's side, you see, on God's way of doing things, which he told even his own people the limits of what they can do, even in defending the faith. Did you know that? And see, and that's why when you hear what Jesus said about how to treat your enemies, huh? Read those scriptures, read what he said. Then you already know that even that outlook that Captain Sisko took, it goes to show you again, no Christian in good conscience could do the same thing, even against their enemy. Mm-hmm. Especially causing other persons to be slandered. James would say even murdered, because slander mean the same thing. And in that case, and you know, it sometimes it remains to be seen if some of those Christians have even went that far, farther than slander. But that's for another time. But we know, according to the scriptures, those types of means are not used even to save the dignity, if you will, to save face, because the dignity certainly already lost in some individuals, you see. But all the same, the top five deepest moments in Deep Space Nine. I encourage you to look up that video. And if you don't find it, then you know what? You can always send me an email or something, and I will search out each and every episode for you and even post a link to them. You see? Because I remember them all. But I do remember the one, the pale moonlight, even more. Why? Because this was a case where I was like, man, you know, I never looked at that character, Sisko, Captain Sisko, as being a devious, scheming man. And that's why, you know, as he fought his different wars, so you have a different way of looking at it. And you see, in a different way of all fair is love and war. But again, if he did the same thing, the enemy was to do the same thing on the other side, you know, it would have made you hate the enemy just that much more. Because, you know, it's one of those things that's no honor at all. And I'm talking now in the spiritual sense. See, that's what faith is about. Still using all the stuff you've read about and learned from Jehovah God and relying on his spirit, that you will still do your best to do things his way and let him take care of the rest, you see. And when that's why you hear me say again, when I talk about, it's one thing to have mistakes. It's another thing to straight up scheme out, concoct a ruse or a plan that can last days and years on end, continuing to ignore God's laws and principles, all because of wanting to make it seem like the end justify the means. And I'm here to tell you today, at least according to the script, Christian faith, even the end does not justify the means, you see, in these devious type situations. Thank you for being with me on this Space Poetry Moment Wednesday. Have a wonderful day.